Okay, good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Friday, the 11th of June, and it is the first day of the Euros. And we got a bit of a surprise. A few weeks ago, towards the end of the season, when West Ham were threatening Champions League football, which never materialised, Kevin Kelly was getting all excited and asked if he could come on the pod and do some Premier League previews as he was mapping out West Ham's route to Europe. So we had him on for the last few weeks of the season. He was an absolute shower of shit, made a complete mess of it all, as did West Ham, culminating in his final tip day of trying to back Palace to beat Liverpool. But that has then led to somebody else approaching me on Tuesday. Scott asked me if he could come on the pod. He was thinking August, September time. I said, well, you're a bit of a sort of self-professed big tournament genius, so let's have you on for the Euros. We're now going to do everything over the next. Well, I don't know what Scott's got going on there. He's got a lion or something in his apartment. But we're going to do the next few days. We're going to do every match. We're going to give you our bets. Scott, I'm going to ask if you just want to say hello, Scott. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
There you go. Scott, are you going to keep a track of the profit and loss for us for this?
Yes, I will, Ian.
All right, good. He's going to keep a track of profit and loss. Hopefully, he can give you some winnings. Scott, I know, will probably be watching every game. I certainly won't. I won't be watching that waistcoat linen shirt fraud for a start in any of his games when they play. I do want to watch tonight. It opens with Italy versus Turkey. And I want to see how Italy go tonight because they're one of my dark horses. Now, before we come to you, Scott, I've just got a few bits of admin and things for FTS to do before we get going on the Euros. And as I say, everybody, we will be back. Well, we may not be back every day. It might be Scott on his own after this first bit. But we'll see how it goes. So I've got a few things to cover, Scotty boy. So firstly, as I just said, this may have to be the last podcast I do, Scott.
Why?
Well, I've had some devastating news in the week, which I did share with you on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day it was. I got a text from an FTS member. And I have asked in the past for people to tweet and share the podcast. It's posted on Spotify and Apple and you can review it. And on my kid's life, I've never looked at any of those reviews and I don't really follow who retweets me on Twitter or anything. But I got sent a text on Tuesday it was somebody texted me and they said, following on from the conversation I'd had with them, which I'll explain in a minute, have you seen this text? And it was a review of the podcast, which I hadn't
which
seen.
Which I'm sure was glowing.
Well, the one thing I think in life, I think I've had quite a colourful life. And the one thing, the one word, I could call myself a lot of things. Idiot, twat, numpty.
And I could add to that.
Annoying. Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people couldn't. I've always said I'm a bit Marmite. But this one has shaken me to the core, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it out. It's a review of the podcast posted. I don't know when. I haven't found the original. I'm only reading the text that's sent to me. So I'm assuming it's accurate, but it might be paraphrased. But I'm almost in tears reading it. Literally the most boring voice I have heard in my life. Jesus, get on with it. Boring chat. Amazingly, FTS is very good, but what a boring listen. Stop talking about Spurs. Just get on with the bets. Bore off with everything else. I'm not going to lie. I am cut to the core. I am.
You look devastated.
I am. I could never see myself and the word boring being linked together. But and as some of you know, in the conversation I had with the guy who sent me this, I've mentioned before, and those doing the summer school, now, I've worked with a woman on values and things, and this year and what's important to me, type of life I got forward. And one of the things that she told me, she basically did a sort of analysis of me. And one of the things she told me that if I want to get the most out of life and when I'm at my best is that I actually don't like or respond well around boring people. And the FTS member who sent me this, I'd had that conversation with him and he thought this was highly amusing. And I have to say, I am quite shocked to find I've got the most boring voice someone has ever heard in their life. I mean, that's a claim, isn't it?
I think of all the things I would say about you, boring is not one. And I think they need to make a trip to Specsavers or Scrivens, and they've got hearing care there.
Yeah.
And, they need help.
I mean, if you've watched Jim on Friday Night Dinner, was it Fitzgerald in Father Ted, Andy Murray, Keanu Reeves, Drew Ackerman, even Suggs, even you, Scott. My voice isn't more boring than yours, surely.
I'm probably going to help you. People here in mine, they're going to love yours.
I topped them all in this guy's opinion. It's a day of reflection. I've got to see if it's really worth continuing. As people coming out of lockdown and return to normal, I don't want to be responsible for falling at the wheel on the M25 or something.
You can take positives out of it, though.
Go on.
Oh, FTS.
Oh, yeah, FTS is amazingly. FTS,
so I would say that's actually a review in the respect that he's saying that that actually is really good. But you sound boring. So yeah.
Amazingly, FTS is good, but what a boring listen. And I'll probably, I mean, some, one member in the week told me their kids like listening to me. I mean, that's got a question.
Send them to sleep.
I'm going to say you got to question the parenting standards, but I didn't realise it was the bedtime story to make them nod off. Yeah, a bit depressing. But while he's on it, and one of the things he said, stop talking about Spurs, I'm going to do just that. I'm going to talk about Spurs for a quick couple of minutes now, just to annoy him even more.
Oh, wonderful.
Danny Rose once famously said, and it was well quoted in the paper, that he wished Tottenham would stop signing players that you had to Google. Potch, the fraud, said when he was coming to the end of his time that we need to start acting like a big club if we want to be considered a big club. And we are the ninth richest club in the world, I hasten to add. So the day before the season tickets, Levy flouted us Antonio Conte. I love Conte. I've never hidden it, even when he was at Chelsea, Juve. Think he's brilliant. And then the day after we'd all paid for our season tickets, those talks ended. And on Tuesday, we heard a name, Paulo Fonseca, who I imagine a lot of Spurs fans, particularly if they don't follow any European football closely, were jumping onto Google to now Google managers. That's a few Spurs fans have contacted me through the week about it. Had a go at me about if you're renewing your season ticket based on Conte, you're mad. And I do get that point that you support the team, whatever, but Spurs have been abject since winter 2018, really, when Dembele left, was the start of it really pouring apart. They've been absolute piss poor. And I do imagine, you know, coming out of COVID, when money is a consideration for a lot of people, that a season ticket is a bit of a luxury item. And you may have been thinking, well, if this is just going to be as bad as this, what's the point? And the thought of Conte coming may well have said to people, actually, this looks good, I'll give this a go.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, the excitement and competitiveness he brings, I'm sure, would have been the catalyst for people to pay for another year. And it now looks like we're just getting an absolute nobody. I mean, he's taken Roma to their lowest position in 12 years in the league. He's won 4 out of 24 against teams above him in 2 years. He's got the worst defensive record of the top 10 in Italy. And when you read those out, as I was reading these and looking into him, he is made for Spurs because all the things we're shit at, he really excels in. We can't beat teams above us and we can't defend. And I can't quite believe this. I mean, this is fucking unbelievable. He managed to get Roma kicked out of the Italian Cup, the Coppa Italia, for making 6 substitutes. I mean, this is not the dog and duck versus the crown and anchor. You're in charge of the team of Italy's capital city and you make 6 fucking subs. I mean, I've never heard anything like it. It's a horrific appointment if it goes ahead. Spurs fans now saying, amazing how it changes. He may be the one. Look how Poch panned out. You know, he was little known. Poch came into the best squad that Tottenham have had for 20 years. Lloris, Walker, Rose, Vertonghen, Eriksen, Dembele, Kane. They were all there for him.
It was an excellent squad.
Yeah, they were all there. They were all there. He came into that. This guy's coming into a fucking mess, a dreadful Spurs side, a squad that can't defend. We can't beat bigger teams. And he's just got zero qualification. I mean, he's had 11, 12 jobs in 15 years, I think. You know, Braga he was at, Shakhtar, Roma, the other lot, Pacos Ferreira, I think. But other than that, you're struggling to know who he was there. It's mental. And once again, Levy has fucked us. He's taken the piss out the fans. It will last less than 18 months, is my prediction. And the other guy, Paratici, you, the director of Footblues, coming, he'll get the boot and take the fall for it. So we have. I've been levied, as well as
it
being
is
poor.
A strange setup now, and your manager's old manager's gone to Roma, and he's come here.
Yeah, I mean, that's as Spursy as it gets, isn't it? Rome,
yeah.
We sack a guy and Roma sack their guy to appoint the guy we've sacked, and we go, well, we'll have him then. I mean, it's one of the strangest managerial swaps you're ever going to see in football.
Maybe it was cheap.
And on the back of that, somebody else, just another point, somebody else sent me a link to a couple of people did actually, a link to an article in The Guardian, which was really, really well written by Jonathan Liu, and it was pretty accurate. But when I clicked the link to it, I noticed some of the comments underneath, and one of them was that The Guardian were being anti-Semitic towards Levy. I can honestly say, in 40 years of going to Spurs, and 21 years he's been there, I have not heard one anti-Semitic word against Levy. That is not what Spurs fans are or about. I've heard West Ham fans making gas chamber noises, which is the most disgusting thing I've heard in a football ground. And they were singing "Can We Stab You" every week after we had a stabbing in Lazio when we were playing in Europe. That tells you what them fucking cockles and eels lot are all about. But I've never ever heard Spurs fans dissing Levy about anything to do with being Jewish or religion. We don't like him because he's got no ambition. It's simple as that. He's a money-grabbing CEO, chairman, whatever you want to call him, of our football club, and we crave a bit more. He is a master at sucking us in. This isn't the first time. He touted Mane, who went to your club, Liverpool, Scott, and we ended up with Sissoko. We touted Fernandes. We ended up with Lo Celso. He touted Dybala. We didn't get anybody. He touted Grealish, and we ended up getting Gedson Fernandes from Benfica, who I don't even know what he looked like. He touted Diaz, who's just won Player of the Year at Man City, and we ended up with Joe Roden, and now he's done us with Conte for Fonseca. It's straight out of his playbook, and if you think it wasn't going to be like that, you're mental. Anyway, that's that done. Couple more, and then we'll get on to the Euros. Got to say, I might even do a little bit of singing now. I've got to say, happy birthday.
I don't have to join you.
Your pod, your the Premier League, sort of your... The first person to do this was Kevin, but it is actually Kelly Kelly, Kevin's wife. I just love it. Kelly Kelly. What's your name? Kelly. What's your name? Kevin Kelly. Let's get married. Kelly Kelly's birthday today. She's 84. I mean, 48 today. 84 today. She's 48 today. beautiful. Kevin is taking her out for a nice meal in London. He's got the old rose between his teeth. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Kelly Kelly.
See, I do my requests in a boring voice. So, yeah, happy birthday, Kelly. I hope you treat you well and you have a lovely day. Right, let's get on to the Euros. That's what we're here. We're not going to have all these pods aren't going to be this long, but I haven't spoke to you since Wednesday. I had a few things to do. Now, what I did before, Scott, was I let Kevin go first, but I'm going to go first. And then I'm going to let you come in and take us home with your top quality analysis.
Oh, thanks very much for that.
Obviously, excitement's building. England fans are setting them up for a further disappointment. But the great thing I do love, and I had an argument with Suggsy when they qualified, because he was like, I hope the Scots get beat. And I said, no, I want them to qualify. And I've already had some great banter this week. It's been ramping up with some Scots. I've got a few of the horse racing lads we deal with, the Scottish. FTS, we have a few Scots on board. And obviously in the group, England play Scotland. So just to the Scots, before we get into this, calm yourselves fucking down. You have got no chance. I like having these little small nations in these tournaments. They're good fun for three games, aren't they? They pop along for their three games and then they fuck themselves off. But on the football side, be real. You're like 5 years away from being the Faroe Islands, aren't they, Scotland?
You're going to laugh when you see some of my outright later.
I mean, Celtic have just pointed Angie Graham as manager or whatever his name is. No one's ever heard of him. So they're going to be a one-team league. It's going to be the blue side for the next 10 years. What I've said it before, what's the point of their footy? Let's fucking stir it right up. Hibs, Motherwell, Dundee. What is the point, truly?
Yeah, it's like Championship football.
You could build some nice houses on those sites, couldn't you? Your players are mostly shite. Your fans will be absolutely pissed on tenants, which is great. I've got one of those. I've been exchanging some texts with Scott Harvey, Scott from Scotland. His mum went, what's his name? Well, Scott, that'll do. I've ordered one of these Beer Hawk Perfect Draft machines. Scott's already got one. They're brilliant. And they got some tenants in on Wednesday. They got a month's supply. You basically get a machine, then you buy a 10-pint keg. And they got tenants delivered on Wednesday. They got a month's supply. You were limited to one keg per customer. Month's supply, they sold out in 15 minutes. Because the old jocks are getting far too excited. They're all going to be absolutely fucking slaughtered. But on footballing terms, it's like Chelsea playing Forest Green Rovers. You know, barely worth watching. Jocks are going to get pasted. On we go. Chill yourself with your tenants, my Scottish friends. You can have 270 minutes of football to follow. Then you'll be back in your little tartan plaid boxes. It's not often you can wipe Old Nation off a podcast in 2 minutes, can you? I've bored 70%, and then the 30% left were Scottish, and they've gone now.
But they can use it to drown their sorrows or joy, isn't it? They can use it for either way. So
I mean, if I was a Scotsman now, I would just be preparing myself by watching that Gazza goal over and over again. I'd just keep watching it and remember how you felt then, because that's how you're going to feel when this game goes ahead. But right, let's get on to the bet. So I have already advised on the 5th of June, I did a preview. I've already advised Italy to win Group A at 4-7, Belgium to win Group B at 4-5. England, Croatia, dual forecast at 5-6 with bet 365, and a small bet to win France to win their group at 15-8. Overall, difficult for me to see past France. I've got 6.2 on the exchange. Lay England at 6.6 because it's mental that they're anywhere near it. Portugal back to trade. Portugal won it last time. They won that tournament with only one win in 90 minutes, which is just seems insane. And Italy back to trade. Man City have Mancini's turned them round. Best win ratio of any Italy manager who's been in charge for more than 20 games, which is incredible. Won all 10, as I said in the preview, won all 10 games in qualifying. They've won their first three World Cup qualifiers 2-0. So Italy is a back to trade. They are my dark horses for the tournament. Top goal scorer, I did Lukaku 15-2, quarter odds top four. Immobile 25-1, quarter odds top four. And Griezmann 25-1, quarter odds top four. I did over 14.5 pens to be scored. I did say awarded, I think, but it is to be scored. I think Unibet or Betway was 16.5 to be awarded. With VAR, I do think that's a nice bet. And I'm adding one more just before we start. And people are going to say it's my anti-Southgate. But I've had a good look at this. I think England under 9.5 total goals at 4-5 with Hills is a lovely bet. So England under 9.5 total goals, I think is a lovely bet. They're not going to go and blow Croatia out the way. They will get a few against the Jocks, maybe a couple against the Czechs, and then they'll get knocked out. So that'll be that. But this moves on to today. It does all start today. So we've got Italy, Turkey. Italy is one that I say I fancy. First round games are usually tight. 2.15 goals per game since 96. First halves are usually tight. I've had discussions with a few. I like the under 1.5 first half goal angle. Been discussing that on a couple of WhatsApp groups. With third place qualifying, you sort of have three places qualifying. You have two ways to look at it. One win will almost certainly pretty put you through. But the smaller nations may try and play for three draws and try and keep it tight and hope to go through that way. And as I say, remember, Portugal did win this with just one win in 90 minutes. I mean, it sounds farcical that you can win a major tournament with one win in 90 minutes. So Italy come onto this into this in the back of the great record. Unbelievable. They're unbeaten since 2018. And Turkey have lost all four of their opening games in the Euros. Some expect Turkey youngsters to go well. They have got the youngest squad in the tournament. I'm not fully sure what the basis of them going well is. But when you look into them, they did only concede three goals in qualifying, none from open play. So they've obviously got something about them. And obviously with the opponents being Italy and the reputation they have of getting the 1-0 up and shutting up shop. And they're now 13 hours, 785 minutes, Italy, without conceding a goal, which is just mental. So the market's not favouring goals. Over 2.5 was 2.5 earlier in the week when I started looking at this game. It's into 2.34. It is the first game. No one wants to lose. They are usually tight, but I think Italy are too strong here. So I personally like Italy to win. I'm not going to bet them at 1.53, though. I'll come back that. But in the World Cup, I did some PDFs and a bet I had a lot, which is what I'm going to have here. I do expect it will be a slow start to the game, just in the historical nature of the tournament. But only 8% of these games, these first round games, have ended 0-0. So I do expect Italy to show their class at some stage. So if it's 0-0 on 20 minutes, using Football 24 for goal timings, I shall back over 1.5 goals for 1 point. I shall split my stake in three, 20 minutes, 27 minutes and 35 minutes. If a goal goes in between the stakes being placed, obviously I'd only have 1/3 or 2/3 of a point matched, but the max risk there will be 1 point. If a goal goes in when any part of the stake is matched, I will remove my liability on unders and have a free bet at the second goal. No bet if there's a goal the first 20 minutes. Obviously, if Italy score, Turkey, you've got to come out a bit more, and that may play to Italy grabbing another one, is kind of the thinking. But I mentioned Italy also at 1.53. If it is a draw at half-time, so there's a fair chance this could get to half-time 0-0, and Italy are over 2.0 in the match odds market, I will back Italy for a point at half time if it's a draw and they're over two. They may not be, but if they do get there, I will back them for 1 point. And again, I would remove my liability if they take the lead. So for me, it is over 1.5 on 20 minutes, dripped in three times, 20, 27, 35. Remove your liability on a goal. If I could only remove it for red, I would let it run. So if the first goal comes in like 70, 75 minutes and it meant I had to red out, I will just let that run for the risk of 1 point. And I will back Italy at half time if it's a draw and I could get over two. I doubt I will, but if I could, then I would. Over to you, Scotty boy. What you got, son?
Right. Okay, you caught me out on a few stats because I was going to say the same. Some interesting stats for Turkey is that they have scored in at least three in their last three meetings with teams ranked inside the top 20 FIFA rankings. Not that I think they will do today. It's their fifth Euro finals and it's the furthest they've been is the quarters. Turkey have never beaten Italy in the capital, Rome, in 10 attempts, losing seven, drawing three. As far as Italy and Turkey, it's Euro 2000. It was the first game of that tournament too. Italy v Turkey, and Italy did win that 2-1. Italy have obviously won it once in 1968, runner-up twice, and they have lost just one opening game in their previous European finals.
Oh, nice!
Which adds to what you've said.
Yeah,
I agree with you that they're right to be one of the favourites for the tournament. And Italy have won 80% when they played a major finals in Rome.
Wow.
So I've actually gone the opposite way. So I'll put my outrights on after. So as far as the game, I very much similar to yourself. I think Italy's going to score a couple because I can see them going one up, Turkey having to come at them and then go and nick another one.
Nice.
And they're at home. Unfortunately, the odds have dropped a little bit because I think plenty of people have got the same idea. So there's now 1.85 on the exchange, 1.83 at Bet365 and others, but I think that's a good bet. And then I liked your top scorer bet because Immobile is one of my favourite players.
Sorry, hang on. What's 1.85?
1.85 for Italy to score two or more goals today.
Right, okay, lovely, okay.
And then that brings me on to anytime goal scorer, Immobile. He's 2.8 on the exchange. It's actually gone up a little bit now. He knows his stadium very well, being a Lazio player. It's played obviously at Stadio Olimpico in Rome. He's scored in four of his last six played here, and he's scored in his last three Italian starts.
Right.
I rate him highly, and I think he'll get a few chances today.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. I like Immobile, as I said.
I think that's a good price, 2.8.
Yeah, I've put him in the outrights as a,
yeah.
If they go deep, he'll definitely be, I think, in the top four scorers in the tournament.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so good. So you're going 1.85 Italy over 2.0 goals. And where's that at? Bet 365.
Betfair Exchange, yeah. If they get two or more goals, we collect, yeah.
Right, okay. And you're going for a Mobley anytime goal scorer.
Yeah.
Nice. Like it, son. I like it.
And then I have got a few outright bets.
Okay, we will record the prices here to the prices quoted.
Yeah.
Things like, obviously, the over 1.5 goal, 20 minutes. Scotty will note the prices down. If you can't do it any time, Scott, give me a shout and I'll do it. Right, over to your outrights.
Okay. I'm very much the same as you on Lukaku. I got 8.6 on the exchange and he still is now. I've actually done 0.5 each on the finalists.
Right.
France v Portugal at 34 on Bet365.
Okay, yeah.
And then I also like France v Belgium at 24 on the exchange.
Okay.
That's 0.5 on each because I've worked out the tournament and I've got Belgium playing Portugal in the semi-final. So I'm trying to cover my bases, but I fancy France to be there waiting for them.
Yeah, okay, good.
I've also, because you know what I like, I'm a bit cautious, I've done a bet on to reach the final, and I've done Belgium at 4.4 on the exchange, and I've also done Portugal at 5.5 on the exchange.
Okay.
And I've also, I like you, I like France, but I only got 6. You did better than me on that. I absolutely loved, and I texted you as well, saying I love the penalties bet that you put up.
Yeah.
That was fantastic value, and that's only 8-13 on Skybet now, 1.62.
Yeah, so that's been smashed in. We did say, didn't we? We said it probably would get smashed.
Yeah.
I think once people start looking at VAR in particular, they're cotton on quick.
Yeah, and there's 51 matches in the tournament. So
exactly, yeah.
Mm. And then I've got, this is why you're going to laugh now, because I've done team total goals, because I've worked out the leagues and stuff. And Russia, I've got Russia over 4.5 goals in the tournament.
Okay.
And I've taken 2.25 at Bet365.
Okay.
And then the one that you're going to laugh about is Scotland.
Oh, my God.
I've actually got Scotland to score 4 or more, so over 3.5 at 11-8 on the Betfair Sportsbook. They're at home.
Scotland to what?
To score 4 or more goals in the tournament.
Guys, I'm really sorry I got him on. I don't know what to say. I mean, this is up there with Palace beating Liverpool, isn't it?
They're at home 2 of the 3 games, so are Russia. And I think they're pretty good at Hampden. And I think, you know, they're going to surprise a few people on their goals.
Oh, my days. They're going to get none against Croatia. They're going to get none against England. So you've basically got them beating the Czechs 4-0.
Yeah, well, I actually think they're going to score against Croatia, and I actually think they're going to score against England as well.
I think you've been drinking.
I think that's going to be an end-to-end game.
I think,
and didn't they have a 3-2 recently for England?
I think you've been on the tenants.
Now, that was Tuesday, but no, that's what I've got.
Okay, son, if that's what you've got, that's what you've got. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. I have to say that was not a bet that I saw coming today. But fair play to you. If that's what you've done, I know you do your research. I know you look into things, and it is a game of opinions and prices. And if you think that's value, son, I will stress that all these bets are given at listeners' own peril. We will keep a P&L, but we'll give... everything will be at listener's own peril. So that's you done, is it?
It is.
Right. What I'm going to ask you to do, nicely, and ask you in front of the listener, if you could put all those in a Telegram, in a Excel sheet.
Yeah, no problem.
And if we can get the bets up first, I can post the Excel in the Telegram, and then the guys have got them in a list format. Otherwise, they'll be listening backwards and forwards.
Save them in the normal place.
Yeah, just save them in a normal place and let me know when done, and I'll post them up in a written format for people. And obviously, going forward, it will be shorter. Tomorrow will be. We're going to do three games each day. So we'll do those tomorrow. So it will literally be then on and do the three games. So we'll have that out every day, Scotty. Unless I decide I'm too boring for the British people and leave you on your own. But let's see how we go. I want to thank you very much for coming on. I know you felt a little bit nervous. I know it was sort of threw you in at the deep end when I said, well, let's do this. And you've only had a couple of days to get your head around it. But
couple of days.
Me tell you, other than up until the Scotland bit, you were doing really well. It was sounding brilliant. And then you sounded like a fucking lunatic.
Well, you could edit that bit out.
That's true. I could at the end, couldn't I? Yeah. Just a sort of a long beep for about 30.
And I want to say thank you for having us on, having me on. I really appreciate it and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it'd be good fun. And I think, as I say, we'll see how the tournament goes, but it is about trying to win the guys a few quid. Yeah. You know, we both put our work in, so hopefully some of this comes up. I think we've got similar views on a lot of it.
I think what will help us as well is that because I'm watching all the games and you probably aren't, I will come from different angles, whereas you'll be stats and numbers. I will go away from that probably at some point.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So, yeah, I will watch tonight, but I certainly won't be watching everyone. I pity your good lady who's got to sit and endure 51 games of football over the next. I actually can't think of anything worse. But there you go. Right, I will... we'll end that there. Then that's it, guys. And as I say, Scott will get those in a written format and we'll post them in the Telegram group for people. And we'll be back with you. The first games are 2:00, aren't they, on a match day?
They are.
Yeah, so we'll try and get the pod out round about midday each day for people with the best bets of those games. Scotty, thank you ever so much for coming on. And I'll speak to you tomorrow. And everybody else, the podcast will be up, as I say, about midday on Saturday.
Sounds great.